Hey everybody, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here at 93.9 WLXU LPFM, Lexington Community Radio, coming to you live from the beautiful north side of Lexington, Kentucky, in the 100 plus year old Johnson Elementary School, now known as the STEAM Academy. I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And joining us for the special Tuesday edition of Bluegrass Bios, would you like to introduce yourself as a special guest?
Sure, Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes.
Excellent. Thanks for coming in, Allison. We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited to be here on the north side, the side of town I grew up on, and especially with some young, bright minds here at the STEAM Academy. Never felt so old as when I walked in the building this morning.
I'm right there with you. That's great. So you grew up here on the north side?
I sure did.
Where about?
And it's exciting to see. 50 cent hamburger, it's no longer 50 cents anymore, but that's where I grew up. And believe it or not, seeing this amazing facility turned around, given new life, it's a transformation that we've seen all over the north side and especially downtown. It's exciting. My husband and I actually live downtown, right across from Rupp Arena, and to see life come back to our downtown, it gives me hope and excitement.
Excellent. And so, yeah, you grew up in this area as well, and you're currently the Secretary of State, and you're the youngest Secretary of State in the United States, correct?
I sure am. I don't know that's, the headline that everybody loves to see, but one of the last statewide Democrats in the South left standing. I've honored to continue to serve Kentucky. This is now my second term, going on. Got two more years in my four-year term left.
That's exciting. And so did you make it out to the Derby this past weekend?
I did. Unfortunately, J-Boy's Echo, I was rooting for Dale Romans. He wanted to see a hometown boy finally make it into that winner's circle. Didn't quite happen, but I know the favorite always dreaming. Everybody is so excited about the possibility and potential for a Triple Crown.
It's exciting.
Yeah. It was leading up to, I think, the entire weekend, everyone was worried about the weather, but there's no dampening people's spirits, no matter what the weather is when it's Derby weekend.
It did what it always did. It rained during the morning, then it stopped, then it rained in the early afternoon, then it stopped, and then the sun came out for the race. That's what happens every single year.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it, but I brought my lucky poncho. It is the most obnoxious yellow poncho in a plastic bag you could ever imagine, and every time I carry it, somehow the rain just manages to stay away for the Derby. So really exciting that it was a clean race. The track wasn't in horrible condition, and most importantly, all 20 of those thoroughbreds made it not only out but back in successfully.
That's always good. And I heard that when the sun came out of the clouds, that the infield went crazy.
Started cheering, right? Well, there's always a party in the infield, no matter whether the sun's out or not.
Yeah, it was crazy before the sun showed up. That's great. And so, Allison, I wanted to ask you just a little bit about growing up here in Lexington. So your family was also involved in Kentucky politics, right?
We sure were. Growing up, I can remember helping the campaign for Jesse Crenshaw. Folks will recall Jesse Crenshaw, a great former state representative from the north side. He really, along with Senator Georgia Davis Powers, mentors of mine. And then I saw my father, and most importantly, my mom, who is even bigger advocate than my father. She knew what organizing was all about, that it's not just enough to register people to vote, but you actually have to make sure people get to the polls on election day. And that's in large part how my sisters and I, whether it was a primary or general election, helping candidates either at the local council level or at the state level, working to make sure that they got out. I can remember big lists and lots of highlights. I think that's probably where my affection for highlighters and big binders came from, combing through them and literally calling people on election day before I was old enough to drive to say, did you go vote? Have you voted yet? Can we get you a ride? And then importantly, when I could drive, going to pick people up and make sure that they could get to the polls safely and weren't worried about the fact that perhaps if they were age, disability, or illness, that they wouldn't be able to go vote.
Absolutely, and that they wouldn't have to wait in line too long.
I know it's not how most people have their first interaction with engagement, but it sure was mine, and it's some of the fondest memories, and it's something that I try to instill, for instance, in kids that we meet across this state. Everybody has their part to play in making sure that their voice is heard. And as you walk into STEAM Academy, we are molding some great young minds that are going to be great community activists in their own right.
Absolutely. And do you think that's what motivated you to get into public service? And
you know, actually, I was headed, I thought, to be a doctor. And then I had a chemistry professor that told me I belonged in the social sciences and that organic chemistry didn't quite meld well with me. And so I went over and became what I thought was going to be what I would do for the rest of my life, and that was practicing law. Mm-hmm. Graduated from law school. When it was time to make some money, came back here to Kentucky. And
where'd you go to law school?
So I went to law school in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I wanted to see where public policy was made at the center and heart of it. And so came back here and practiced here in town doing business litigation work. It was actually helping a victim of domestic violence that I heard and found my calling to try to be the change that I wanted to see in this world. I came out of court helping someone who didn't speak much English. It's part of the reason why I think what you guys are doing here with 95.7 FM, The Pulse, is pretty amazing. We had to have the aid of an interpreter in the courtroom. She was seeking a domestic violence order, a protection order, and we were successful. When we came out, her daughter, who spoke more English than my client, actually gave me a hug, and they just both cried. And I knew then, as I looked around state government, no offense, gentlemen, but it was nothing but a bunch of guys. And I thought, you know, we can do better. We should be doing better. And who's advocating for them in Frankfort right now? Who knows their story? Who is speaking up for them and making sure that they can have not only good-paying jobs, but hopefully great education and a strong retirement here in the state? They deserve that. And so I took a chance, and people said I was moving too fast too soon. I ran my first ever race, a statewide race, but we were successful. We actually led the ballot, and thanks to the credit of so many people across Kentucky, continue to be reelected.
That's great. And so I wanted to ask you a little bit, Allison, about your time. So you went to Rhodes College.
I did.
Initially down in Memphis, right?
Go Lynx Cats.
Yeah. That's their mascot, the Lynx Cats.
I believe you're our second Rhodes Scholar.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Technically speaking.
So how was your experience in Memphis? How did that kind of shape your social justice side?
I mean, you guys know what community radio is all about. Mm-hmm. It's culture, it's history, it's arts, it's entertainment, and there is all of that and more. Recently, we had the opportunity to go back when the Wildcats made it down there for mm-hmm. the championship. I hope we would have had a better outcome for the Cats, but they fought hard. And, you know, not only were we along Beale Street, which obviously there's a lot of great memories there.
No, for sure, yeah. That's for sure.
But we ended up going back to, there's the new Civil Rights Museum that's there at the Lorraine Motel. The history is just overwhelming and at the same time awe-inspiring. Mm-hmm. And that's really why I was in school. I studied the life, the work of Dr. Martin Luther King mm-hmm. Due to a religious studies professor there. I think it helped to change me for the better to know, you know, really where the focus in life should be. We do have two hands, but we've got two hands for a reason. You can help yourself, but you also can reach out and help somebody else as well.
That's great. And yeah, I think that's a space that certainly makes you feel that way and puts you very physically in the space. I mean, they left it intact exactly how it was.
If you haven't had a chance to get down to Memphis, it's pretty inspiring just from the atmosphere of what it has to offer. But we have the same history right here in Kentucky. We have the same attractions here in this state. It's mm-hmm. not too often where you got the Country Music Highway and the Bourbon Trail all in one state, so you don't have to go too far here in Kentucky to be inspired either.
That's true. And so Allison, so you went to Lexington Catholic and then went to Rhodes College and then went to American University for law school.
I sure did.
So how was that experience kind of being in D.C. and seeing, you know, in the lion's den, if you will?
I wish I could tell you it's changed a lot, but they still have the gridlock there. Mm-hmm. It still have too many men trying to decide everything.
For sure.
But, you know, when I trying to figure out where to go to law school, Washington College of Law was pretty exciting to me because it was a law school founded by all women. Mm. People don't really know that. And when I went there, I can remember distinctly as we were going up in the elevator, no one looked like me, sounded like me. There was not a lot of y'alls going on there. And it was something that really made me embrace and know that diversity is what's best about this country. And I think it helped to hopefully shape me into a more open-minded individual. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't change that experience for the world. I made some great friends and colleagues that are practicing nationally now that reach out to quite often to help try to do some good work right here in Kentucky.
That's great. And what made you want to come back to Kentucky after law school in D.C.?
Well, I wasn't going to pay my taxes to the District of Columbia, that's for sure. I love this state. I come from a really big family here. Mm-hmm. And when it was time to put into practice all the things that I had tried to learn, I wanted to make sure that it was right here in my backyard, in a place where I thought people could really, I could help change some lives positively. Mm. Those were big ponds that I was in, from Memphis to Washington, D.C., and to say Kentucky was a smaller pond, I thought, my impact might be greater here. And I came back and practiced law for many years, and then all of a sudden found myself doing what my husband might now call an act of insanity, and that's putting my name on a ballot and running for office.
Well, that's great. And so when you were practicing law here, too, I know you mentioned the domestic abuse case, but what other kind of cases were you taking?
So business litigation, how mm-hmm. businesses small and large, as they might find themselves in the courtroom, whether it's a dispute over a trademark and the use of their business name, or whether it's a vendor relationship, mm-hmm. Whether it's a negligence intentional or unintentional issue, but all sorts of business-related litigation matters that you can imagine for clients small and large. It helped me really and truly know a lot of the small business owners here in this state because their ability to have somebody advocating for them in the courtroom, they don't have the huge teams of lawyers that sometimes big corporate clients do, and they need somebody there to make sure that their bottom line is protected.
You help out the little guy.
Yep. That's exactly right.
So on January 2nd, 2012, you started as the Secretary of State here in the state of Kentucky.
I did. Do you know what the Secretary of State does?
That was going to be my next question. So
we know what the Secretary yeah. of State of Kentucky does, but anybody who might be listening who doesn't know.
Well, it's an amazing office, I think, mm-hmm. One where we've really pushed the boundaries of what the Secretary of State is involved in. Probably in large part due to I'm a very vocal individual, but it is an office where I thought I could make a lot of difference because it really encompassed my background. I'm obviously a business litigator, so I'm very well aware of what the business laws are in this state, how we needed to improve them. Mm-hmm. And as Secretary of State, you're the chief business official. Mm-hmm. You watch over 200,000 businesses here in Kentucky. Importantly, it also embraced what was a large part of what I believed I could help improve, and that's election work. You're the chief mm-hmm. election official here in Kentucky as Secretary of State. And we've obviously talked about my background, working to make sure we translate registrations into participation mm-hmm. is a big part of this job, one that I'm not done tackling yet, and I hope it will continue to be my yeah. life's work, regardless of whether I'm in public life or private life. And importantly, something that's taken me to every school across Kentucky to see grandmamas down to grandbabies, mm-hmm. That's working as the civic advocate for the Commonwealth, the chief advocate for civic engagement, trying to get people to realize everybody has a role to play. Yeah, everybody's yeah. voice will make a difference. It's just a matter of figuring out what you're passionate about and pushing.
Yeah, and approachability. I think education on how to contact your elected officials.
It sure, there's so many different facets. When you talk about civics, it's a hard concept, I think, to grasp. Mm-hmm. But when you talk to people about, hey, do you volunteer? Mm-hmm. Hey, are you part of a community organization? Do you donate any of your dollars mm-hmm. that you have in your pocket to help better the lives of somebody else? At the heart of what civics is all about is, are you helping to improve the lives of someone other than yourself?
And speaking of contacting your public official, if you want to call in, we're at
851-5690,
mm-hmm. and I'll pick up.
Yeah,
if you have a question.
Yeah, maybe we should let people know. So this month, and thank you, Allison, for coming in as part of this as well, we're having a Have Your Say in May fundraiser to raise money to support Lexington Community Radio, since we're totally funded through donations, underwriting, and grants. We need your help. So feel free to give us a call. The number is 859-721-5690, And you can call in and make a request or ask Allison a question or ask Ben a question, you know.
Yeah, sure.
If you want to get crazy with
it. Let's put Ben on the hot spot.
Yeah.
They can also go online, can't they? GoFundMe.com/LCR May. Lexington Community Radio May. Yes. If you guys are online like I am, you can do it from the touchpad of your own phone. Listen, this is an amazing radio station, and we want to make sure that it continues, and it's a fabric of our society. I think we got to hopefully some good folks calling in, so we want to hear from you. 859-721-5690.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we like to also try to engage with our community as closely as we can and capture the voices and the stories of our community. But also, you know, a big part of what we do is also civic engagement, and particularly in November and even in October and before then, you know, we held a lot of public service announcements and ed interviews to get people out to vote. And I think you did a spot with Dana Branham, right?
Y'all,
so we aired that as well.
I mean, you do such amazing work. It's not only highlighting what's best about our community, but making sure that people have a way to get involved. Mm-hmm. And that's why Lexington Community Radio, we want to make sure has the support that it needs, and you feel the love that we feel from you guys every day.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I think we try to offer, I mean, we discuss the problem, but also offer solutions. And Ben, we got a call?
Khaki's on the line.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring her up. Hey, Khaki.
Hey, Chuck.
How
are you? Secretary of State.
Hi, Khaki. Good morning.
Well, I'm calling in to say, because I'm right here on the website, and I'm $10 for now. I donate a lot more. I'm a board member at LCR, and I love it. And I'm one of the founding people. I had something to do with founding that show you're on. I just wanted to say it's such an honor to hear from a Northside gal who is doing such good things for our voters and for our immigrants, because the other thing you do is you swear in new citizens, don't you?
I sure do, Khaki. A big part of the work when we talk about civic engagement, it's being a part of naturalization ceremonies across the state. That we are a nation of immigrants, looking out for the least, the last, and the lost among us, mm-hmm. and being a part of those ceremonies gives me, I think, the energy, the fight that I need to go back to Frankfort and make sure that we're standing up and advocating on behalf of everybody. Y'all means Kentucky welcomes all.
Right. And so, you know, the other thing, too, is you do a lot of those honor flight things, too, don't you, with the veterans?
I sure do. Our veteran community, you know, making sure that we're breaking down barriers to the ballot box is a big part of this job. When I first came in, Khaki, I had the pleasure and real privilege to travel abroad to the Middle East to visit with all facets of our military community, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, and we worked to try to make sure that they could get their voices heard from the ballot box back here, or from the battlefield back here at the ballot box, and it's led to a lot of great work, especially honoring our veterans, those people that give us that right to vote on Election Day.
That's right. So, in any case, so, you know, there's this fundraiser thing where people can, online, they can call in, and donate, you know, $10 gets you a request and a shout out. So I am donating right now. I'm going to go online and donate $20, and I'm going to ask for Woody Guthrie's "This Land Is Your Land" twice in your head, right? Like, but you know, like it's double that. And I'm just, I just love, you know, I'm a journalist and a journalism professor, and I teach the students how to cover the free and fair elections, and they use the website from your office so often. And I did also, as you know, as a professional journalist, I think it was Trey Grayson who first really digitized and made it such a powerful tool that our Secretary of State was far ahead of the California Secretary of State when I then went to California to be an editor. So in any case, thanks for taking time to be on the radio with those knuckleheads.
Well, thank you, Khaki, for your help and support, and not only your work on the board, but your additional donation today. Are you at GoFundMe.com/LCR May?
Yeah, GoFundMe.com, LCR May /, and then I'm going to tweet all that out and retweet it. So if people are my friend on Facebook or follow me at Prophet Khaki on Twitter, or the LXU people can retweet it to get that link straight in. But yeah, so that's my 20. There's lots more. There's lots more that comes the way of LCR. But I just kind of thought Woody Guthrie and this land is your land you know, is what you're standing for up there, and you always have been.
I think that's inspirational, Khaki, and I challenge somebody to meet or exceed what you are putting down right now, and I'll match them as well. So see if somebody can meet or exceed what you're putting down right now. The Lexington Community Radio community needs it and deserves it, and let's stand up and be there for them as they've been there for us.
Well, that sounds great. Okay, so I'm going to throw it back to you, Ben. Ben behind the board very confidently all the time.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Khaki, for calling in and everything you've done for the station and for WRFL and Lexington and Kentucky as a whole, and, you know, keeping those journalism students in line over there at UK.
You're silly. But thank you, Chuck. We love you a million.
No problem. We love you too, Khaki.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Great. So maybe that's a perfect time. Can we talk about GoVoteKentucky.com?
I would love to talk about GoVoteKentucky.com. So as you heard Khaki say, we have taken a lot of our services online. We want folks to be able to start a business any time of day, any day of the week. Mm-hmm. We want people to be able to check their voter registration, to update their registration, to see who's on the ballot or get driving directions to their polling location sent directly to their phone, all with the touch of their fingers. And so last year, we became the 32nd state in the nation to launch online voter registration. A pretty big deal, something that I think has translated and transformed the way we are communicating with folks. We've really energized the youth across this state. So if folks are looking to check their registration, perhaps change their registration, I can give you some pointers on that too.
Sure.
If anybody needs that offline, we encourage them to check out GoVoteKentucky.com, and you can get there by spelling out Kentucky or KY.com. It is the one-stop election portal where you're literally able to register right there. It's processed instantaneously. We're cutting down on the paper, mm-hmm. going back and forth, the horrible handwriting. I know people think that their handwriting is so great, but it's not.
Yeah.
Making sure the information you're entering directly yourself, it's enhanced security, and most importantly, a lot of cost savings for our counties throughout this state. Mm. And so right here in Kentucky, in Lexington, Fayette County, Don Blevins Jr. wants to make sure you're going online, save time. There's no lines. GoVoteKentucky.com.
Yeah, and you had an increase of almost 100,000 people, right?
Because we sure did. It's amazing. As we did the registration drive, it was the longest in Kentucky's history that we ever did last year. It was from April up through October when the books closed. We had 100,000 new folks register.
Wow.
We saw the participation online continue to grow as folks became educated about the process. We actually did a tour across the state, a Go Vote Kentucky tour, mm-hmm. And it's something we're going to continue, obviously, to do because here's the thing. Registration, it's just the first step in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found, the reason we actually launched online registration, is we have a registration rate here in Kentucky that's hot. It's above average, mm-hmm. in the nation, nearing almost 70%. But there were 30% of Kentuckians that weren't registering. And we took it online because we realized that 30%, they were youth and minorities. And how do we reach them? We thought, let's take this process online. Let's reach out and hopefully we'll be able to get that 30% that's not registered yet actually taking that first step. And now the hardest part of this whole process is actually getting people to drop the remote and grab their coat and actually go vote.
Mm-hmm.
So Lexington Community Radio, you guys do so much to help us get that vote out on Election Day. And I just want to say thank you. That's a big reason why I'm here today. Say thank you. And you're a partner in this process of the job of Secretary of State.
Well, you know, we're happy to do it. I think participation is, you know, the key to democracy and having everyone have an equal say in their government and what representatives they want to represent them.
You're exactly right. And right now, you know, we've upped our registration, but sadly, we still have work to do when it comes to participation. We look back at a gubernatorial race in 2015, honored to be reelected. Folks reelected me as Secretary of State in 2015, but the turnout, 30%. Turnout. That means we had 7 out of 10 registered voters not showing up.
Yeah,
minority of folks determining what's happening for a majority. And I wish I could tell you that during the presidential election in 2016 that, you know, things were all cured, and because there was so much hype about it being a presidential election that things, you know, went you know, were 100%. But unfortunately, still, it was, if you look at the turnout, nearly 60% turnout, 59% turnout across the state here in Kentucky, which means 4 out of 10 registered voters stayed home. So we still have work to do, because I think people want to have a say in not only who's running things at the local level, but who's in Frankfort making decisions that affect places like the STEAM Academy that we're sitting at, who is going to go on to Washington. And the more we can get people to realize that I've certified elections that come down to one vote. Listen, this past presidential election, it was under 1,000 vote difference. Recall that we had here here in Kentucky when we had, for instance, the presidential primary between Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton. There, the difference in the margin was very slim, enough for us to actually do a re-canvass, to go back and look at all the totals and make sure the math was correct. That's, and you're talking about a presidential election. So, folks, it matters. That you go vote determines the future of your local politics, of your state politics, and especially national politics.
What do you think is the biggest impediment that stops people from voting right now? What obstacle do we need to overcome to get people out?
Well, I think early voting. We need it here in this state. We shouldn't be having to require an excuse for people to go and vote early. People, they're out the door before the sun ever rises, and they're not home until well after the sun has set. And to think that 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on one day is enough time for them to go vote, it's not taking into account how...
On a weekday,
how things have changed drastically since, you know, our Constitution was written...
Yeah, since the 1700s.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we should be doing what 37 other states are already doing, and that's allowing early voting. We already do it just for a certain small group of people. We've expanded that circle a little bit this past General Assembly session with some new law to help folks who are age, disability, or illness need to go vote early, but we should be doing it for everybody. And I would encourage your listeners, the Lexington Community Radio community, to push back. You know, we've got some great clerks throughout the state, but their association as a whole has constantly stood in the way of Kentucky getting early voting. I would also encourage the listeners to reach out to Speaker of the House, Jeff Hoover, and President of the Senate, President Stivers, Robert Stivers, to tell them they want to hear these bills actually heard, because it's not enough for the Clerks Association to finally come on board, hopefully with the pressure of the community, but the bills actually have to get heard in each of those chambers and get a vote before they could possibly become law. And a lot of times, unfortunately, politics gets played, and those bills didn't get called up this past session, which is detrimental to the people of this state. But I think that's early voting is first. Second, restoration of nonviolent felony offender voting rights. There's 200,000 folks here in this state who have paid their debt to society. They made a mistake. They've served their sentence. And we still say, go pay taxes, go get a great job and support yourself and your family. But oh, by the way, don't have a say in if we're, who's going to raise your taxes, which they're getting ready to do tax reform. So we don't need to be one of three states in the nation that doesn't automatically restore those rights. And right now, unfortunately, we are. And I sure hope that in the sentiment of former State Representative Jesse Crenshaw, and especially Senator Georgia Davis Powers, that we can finally push back that barrier. That's a huge barrier to our ballot box.
Well, I think that's a perfect timing for us to take a little break and fulfill Khaki's request of Woody Guthrie.
We'd love that. And everybody call in. We want to hear from you. 859-721-5690.
Please do. And we're here in the studio with Secretary of State Allison Grimes. And we'll be back here in a little bit. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, and I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
Hey everybody, and we're back. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. We're coming to you live from the north side, and we're here in the studio with Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Grimes.
Thank you much. Well, good morning everybody. This is Support, our Lexington Community Radio station. I hope everybody is having your say in May, and they're going online, gofundme.com/LCRMay, and giving a few dollars out of their pocket, it sure does make a difference.
Absolutely. And thank you for coming in and helping us out.
And Khaki, we'll play that song again later.
Yeah, we promised a double round of Woody Guthrie. So, Allison, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the 2014 run for Senate. I know that you traveled all throughout Kentucky and very probably went to every county in the state.
I have.
There are many of them.
Over the course of, I guess, now, since 2011, I've been to every county in the state, not just once, not twice, but nearly three times.
Nice.
Which is, I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
We have 120 counties, and they're like my sisters. They're all a little different.
So I wanted to ask you kind of what do you think you learned the most about Kentucky during that run?
Oh, well, I hope I'm continuing to learn about this state, because that means I'm still growing. Mm-hmm. And I sure don't pretend to know everything. I don't think anybody who is worth any grain of salt ever should
Absolutely.
Claim to know everything. But I got to see what's best about this state, and still do. Serving in a statewide capacity, it's the people of Kentucky. When you get to go, for instance, just last week, we were down in Harlan to all the way up to Wolf County, mm-hmm. Bell County, to all the way this week. We're going to be going on Thursday over to Barron and then Owensboro, mm-hmm. Get some good barbecue.
Yeah.
And then up to, the next day, Northern Kentucky, mm-hmm. and to the area where I'm from and was born on the river in Maysville, Kentucky. It's a pretty diverse geography.
Yeah.
It's pretty diverse in terms of its people, but over the course of my time, and especially that U.S. Senate race, I've learned what's best about this state. It's the people of Kentucky. That's what gives me the energy. That's what gives me the drive to want to continue to go through that process. It's kind of crazy and putting your name on a ballot.
Certainly, yeah. And, I can certainly empathize with growing up on the Ohio.
Yeah.
Growing up on the river.
Yeah.
I grew up in Covington as well.
Well, you know what it's all about. I was the only one smart enough of five girls to be born where not only my parents were from, but my grandparents were from. Mm-hmm. And that's the home of Rosemary Clooney, Maysville, Kentucky.
Yep, that's true. It's a beautiful town.
Yeah.
So we got a caller, Ben? Who's on the...
Yes, we have Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. How's it going?
Hi, a little rainy up here in Northern Kentucky, but not bad.
Nice. Where in Northern Kentucky are you calling from?
Lakeside Park.
Oh, yeah.
Near Cincinnati, about 5 minutes from there.
Oh, I know that spot all too well. So
yeah.
Do you have a question or a request, Rebecca?
I do have a question, and I apologize if this is off topic because I can't hear your show from where I am. but I do have lingering questions about our health insurance situation related to Northern Kentucky and being able to cross the state line into Ohio for treatment. And I just wondered if there is any indication on where that will be going, because right now in the individual market, we do not have an option or have not had an option to go to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Mm. We're supposed to go to Louisville, which is an hour and a half away. Mm. So I just wondered if there's anything out there that can kind of give us an idea of what's coming.
Well, Rebecca, this is Secretary Grimes. Thank you for calling in this morning.
Hi.
Do you have a little one or little ones that
are
needing to go to Cincinnati Children's Hospital? Tell us about them.
Yes, my son is now 13. When he was 9, he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. So he has been being treated by, actually at the time we started out, it was the number one pediatric gastrointestinal department in the country and the number one doctor as such. So So it's great. And we were able to be grandfathered in so that we could stay out of Obamacare and keep our old plan. Mm-hmm. But that runs out at the end of this year. And I'm very concerned that I'm not going to be able to keep my son's doctor or hospital. Yeah. And I understand you probably don't really have a good idea of what's coming for next year at this point, but I just wanted to find out.
Well, you know, there's so many things going on, especially right now at the federal level in mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. The House has put forth a proposal, which a lot of people are worried doesn't live up to that promise that you just asked about. If you like your doctor and you like your plan, you can keep it. And they're worried also that if the Senate doesn't address it, it might kick a lot of people outside of and off of Medicaid across Kentucky. That would disproportionately affect a lot of folks. So right now, I think all eyes are on the United States Senate. And you're concerned. There are two folks that I think you should definitely be reaching out to. And I'll be happy if you would like. I sure can help direct you to the exact telephone number and website offline off the radio show, how you get to them. That's yep. United States Senator Mitch McConnell, United States Senator Rand Paul. Those are the folks that are going to be having their hands in drafting and crafting and revising what the United States House has just sent their way by a vote last week.
Yes, actually, those two are the ones that helped me get in touch with President Obama when this was all going down maybe 3 years ago. And they did help us get grandfathered. It was an executive order that was made in order to let us keep our old plan. But, you know, if things don't change, and I mean, I'm glad for the changes that they're making right now, because if things were to stay as they were under Obamacare, we would be losing at the end of this year. So, yes, I would love contacts to just kind of help make sure everybody's aware that this is a problem.
Well, if you don't mind, reach out to me at sos.ky.gov. If you send me just a quick email, say we talked on the radio this morning, I'll be happy to send you the contact information. Your story, like so many others, are what need to be taken into account as folks are trying to craft policy. It's not about numbers. These are about people.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Well, I hope you have a great morning. And just remember, GoFundMe.com/LCRMay. This radio station that you're loving, and I'm amazed you're hearing this all the way up in northern Kentucky.
I saw your tweet.
Oh, that's even better. The power of social media. Well,
this is a perfect time to let you know that you can listen to our station in northern Kentucky if you go to LexingtonCommunityRadio.org. Or we also have an app, WLXU 93.9, on any
y'all
Apple
are streaming
store.
Everywhere.
Yeah, we're all over the world.
I love it.
For sure. Yes.
Well, thank you for calling in and being a part of this morning show.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, Rebecca. Great.
Now, with the new legislation that's being proposed with regards to health care, isn't a lot of stuff being kicked down to the states?
There will be. What's being discussed now is that states will be able to opt out or waive out of certain things. But there's a lot of confusion right now in terms of what will happen. You know, personally here in this state, what I've seen and experiences are varied. We just heard from Rebecca, experiences are varied, but we got a lot of folks here in the state who, because of the expansion with the Affordable Care Act, they were able to get health care for the first time. They were able to go to the dentist. There's a reason someone told me here in the state that folks here in Kentucky, a large part, if you look at their dental work, it isn't what they'd hoped it to be. It's because they couldn't afford it. They couldn't go to the dentist. Now they can. And that's under the expansion of Medicaid, under the Affordable Care Act. But that's not to say it's been perfect. There's been things that even myself, I've commented on, that we need to work to fix so that people can afford coverage. They can keep their doctor and their plan if they like it. But right now, the discussions in Washington, they have essentially under the House plan done away with a lot of the good parts of the Affordable Care Act. It'll be a negative impact possibly here in this state nationally, 24 million people getting kicked off insurance. So things are still in flux because there has not been a final bill. It's come out of the House, but by no means is there any celebration to be had when you're talking about 24 million people possibly not having insurance anymore, especially a disproportionate amount here in the state. But what's yet to be seen is what will the United States Senate do? And that's where folks here here in Kentucky should be talking to the United States Senators, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, and voicing their opinion. And if anybody didn't already voice their opinion to our congressmen, we don't have any congresswomen here in Kentucky, but our congressmen, then you're not doing your civic duty and responsibility, because they should be hearing from you. You should know how they voted, and especially did they vote for or against your interest in the most recent House vote.
Yeah. And most of them really don't respond well to tweets or Facebook posts or emails. I would suggest calling.
So you know,
or
we
paper
just,
and we, literally occupy their time.
Ben,
and
you bring up a good point. We just got finished across the state with our civic town hall tour, standing room only session that started January through the end of March, and we were in every congressional district across Kentucky, talking really about the second civic health report that Kentucky's had. Shows we've moved up in some indicators. People are volunteering more. People are giving more. But people still don't trust their neighbor. People are registering to vote, but they're not going to go vote. But one of the newest indicators, and we saw it with this past election cycle in 2016, people trust their public schools. Public institutions such as public schools are by far some of the highest ratings in this most recent report. But people do not trust government. Mm-hmm. And people, unfortunately, I know we're here on the radio this morning, do not trust media. So a large part of our civic town hall tour were people venting frustration about how they do get in touch with elected officials that aren't being responsive, how they do make their voice heard. And there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of passion, and a lot of compassion that's out there for people to want to try to make sure that they're taking the state and this nation in a direction that hopefully helps a lot of people.
Certainly. And Allison, I wanted to ask you, too, specifically about the Democratic Party here in Kentucky as well. Mm-hmm. And where do you think, what kind of changes do you think need to be done in order to get Democrats out there voting? Because like we talked about before, there are more registered Democrats than Republicans in the state of Kentucky. But this past election was the first time the House had flipped in 95 years. So I'm curious kind of what you think is the current state of the Democratic Party in Kentucky, and where do we need to go from here?
Well, first, let me just say, as Secretary of State, you know, I take the partisanship hat off. Mm-hmm. And to me, whether regardless of what your party affiliation is or isn't, I want to make sure that folks don't have anything standing in their way in terms of being a part of this process. That's the reason for taking registration online for GoVoteKentucky.com. That's the reason that I continue to advocate for policies like early voting or restoration of nonviolent felony offender voting rights. It's the reason why I passed the first ever Military Heroes voting bill, because I saw that there were roadblocks in the way for the people that give us that right to vote. So, you know, across the board, the work I do, I want to make sure everybody is engaged. But for Democrats as a whole, I think that we're in a rebuilding phase, not just across the state, but nationally. What I think is so exciting, it's the essence of what Martin Luther King, his life's work was all about, nonviolent civil disobedience. Right. It is the way that we write the best chapters in not only our history, but this nation's history. And I think we're seeing that right now. What I truly love is that the energy that's out there, it's not being led by any one person or one politician. It is genuine, authentic. It is individuals collectively coming together, making a difference.
Yeah, I think so, too. And by seeing the Women's March and the March for Science, and, you know, folks are out there and getting involved.
Hey, Chuck, we have Jack from Louisville on the phone.
Jack from Louisville. Hey, Jack.
Hi. Hey, I was I heard something about a deaf and hard of hearing bill that passed, and I actually just wanted to know more about it.
Jack, it's so awesome that you're calling in. You're up there in Louisville, Cardinal Country.
Oh, I'm still a Wildcat fan, though.
He's infiltrated them for us.
All right, we'll let you ask your question.
Well, Jack, you brought up a great point. You know, this session, there were a lot of sweeping changes this session, and I've put my opinions out there about a lot of them, but something that that's positive this morning to talk about, work in my office that we were able to do for our community. 700,000 folks in this state are deaf or hard of hearing. Pretty amazing number, which I wasn't aware of until I met met a man named, by the name of Robert DeAngelo. Robert DeAngelo is deaf and hard of hearing. He is an advocate for the community, and he raised to me something that I didn't realize, but it's a true safety issue and health issue. When, for instance, if there's a traffic stop and you have a law enforcement officer coming to a vehicle of an individual that's deaf or hard of hearing, and they can't communicate, and especially how they do communicate is with their hands. We didn't want any individuals coming into harm's way. So there's actually a bill that passed this past session. I call it the Robert DeAngelo bill. It helps the community of over 700,000 deaf and hard of hearing in this state. We actually, if you're deaf or hard of hearing, you can opt in to the transportation system when you're getting your driver's license, so that if forever you come into contact with a law enforcement officer, they know that you're deaf and hard of hearing. It will help to aid the communication between you, and it's obviously something that's not visible to the public, so it's not putting that individual in harm's way either.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for explaining it to me. That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Well, and we encourage anybody, today is obviously our Lexington Community Radio Day. We want you to go to GoFundMe.com/LCRMay, have your voice heard in May. But if you're interested in helping our deaf and hard of hearing community, we're going to be raising the dollars to help make sure that we expand that system and that we go farther than just the registration for the driver's license. So if you're interested in that, reach back out to my office, because I know that the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing would love to have your help in raising those funds necessary.
Wonderful. You all have a great day. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you,
thank
Jack.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thanks for calling in. And is there more information on the Secretary of State website?
There sure is. So if you go to sos.ky.gov, you can also go to elect.ky.gov. You can reach us and, importantly, see all the information about great legislation that's passed. Contact me. Get more information. I've got great folks in my office. You know, the work that we do, it might have been my name on the ballot, but it's really great folks who are in the Secretary of State's office who helped to make it all happen.
That's awesome.
What else are you working on that maybe, or that's coming through the state legislature that maybe people don't know about?
Well, obviously, we were very successful this year in expanding, in terms of voting, the process for people to vote early because of age, disability, or illness. My hope is the next step is early voting for everybody. Yeah. We're already doing it. We just need to be able to not have to ask people what their excuse is for why they need to vote early. So same day, same time, no additional burdens on our clerks, just making sure we open the process, give people a fighting chance to actually get to that ballot to have their voice heard. That's something that I'm going to continue to advocate for, as well as for our veterans to be able to start their own businesses. This is a law that I think a policy proposal that was an unfortunate casualty of this past session. It did not get heard, and people should be as upset as I am that it didn't get heard, because it should have. It passed out of House Committee unanimously. It was called Boots to Business. Mm-hmm. Help waive fees for any of our military veterans that want to start their own business. Yeah. Let's give those people who have not only served us with that uniform, but are trying to serve the community, let's give them a helping hand. Waiving those fees is, I think, the least we can do. Other states have done it. I'd like to see Kentucky do it. So if you're in favor of Boots to Business, tell that General Assembly, especially Speaker Hoover and President Robert Stivers, you need to hear the bill. We have 350,000 veterans in this state. We should be helping them. It's the least that we can do, as they want to try to give back and start their own business. But I hope, do y'all know your experience when you go to the poll on election day, you have to sign a big book that says you are who you are, you show them your form of ID. So coming up in 2018, something that's really exciting, we will have electronic poll books.
Wow.
So think about an iPad. Basically, when you go into the poll, instead of seeing all that paper there.
Seeing that poor volunteer had that giant book and
they have to go all the way to their arm work in, but you'll now see an electronic poll book, which will be able to give us more information in real time. Law enforcement community will know how people are checking in, when they're checking in, who's checking them in. Those will be launched in 2018, so we're preparing to educate 15,000 precinct election officers about how that technology works. We've already done a pilot project over the course of the presidential election year in several counties throughout the state, all different geographies, demographics, and especially especially registrations, to make sure that it had positive feedback from folks, and it sure did. And the State Board of Elections, we will be launching that in 2018. So a lot of things on the horizon, and obviously we're not done yet. The Civic Health Town Hall Tour, that's something, conversation I hope will continue. And the folks here at the Lexington Community Radio, y'all play a big part in that. So we hope folks will continue to stay engaged with us as we proceed forward to what will be a big election year next year in 2018. All county offices on the ballot, in addition to congressional races.
It's going to be an exciting year, no doubt, in Kentucky.
Every election is.
It is.
Every
absolutely.
Election is.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you so much, Allison, for coming in and chatting with us today. We really appreciate it.
Likewise. I hope everybody takes time. Either call in 859-721-5690 or go online, gofundme.com /LCR May. Get out there and support this amazing station that is the heart and soul of not just the north side of Lexington, but I think of this community, and it's highlighting what's best about the state. As I said before, something I've learned firsthand, our people.
Great one. Thank you so much. And, you know, I'd also want to encourage people to go to govoteky.com and get registered to vote regardless of your party affiliation. You know, we want your voice to be heard on the ballot and also on Lexington Community Radio. So again, thank you so much, Secretary of State Grimes, for coming in. And we really appreciate you coming in this morning and having a conversation with us and opening up the phones to anybody to come in.
Thank you guys very much. And thank you to the listeners. govotekentucky.com. No lines online, and importantly, help make sure you have your say in May. Help support this radio station that's doing some great work and having folks from all walks of life in here and highlighting the good work that they're doing.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And nonetheless, Ben, what do we got coming up?
I don't know. We got some music coming up. I promised we'd play Woody Guthrie again.
Yeah, I think we can
Khaki,
do that.
Khaki finally gets her second round.
We'll do that for Khaki because it's Khaki and she's amazing. But nonetheless, thanks again for listening to us, and stay tuned here. You're listening to WLXU 93.9 LPFM Lexington Community Radio.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking